The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Joyce, Greg, Mike, Nancy, your families gathered, God's peace to each one of you this day as well. These last couple of weeks may feel as if you have been tossed to and fro. The world that you knew and understood has changed. Marlon, who was such a huge part of your lives, was gone so quickly. Your last moments with him in that hospital room, difficult and painful, yet fully surrounded by the love and grace of Jesus. Now, this might sound a little strange to you, but I'd like you to turn to the cover of your bulletin, and I want you to keep it close by you, because we're going to spend some time paying attention to the story that it tells as that story relates to Marlon's story. So you probably noticed there in that picture drifts an empty boat. Now, as we've already seen in the slideshow, fishing was a huge part of Marlon's life. Whether in a drift boat on the Mackenzie or on the boat he took out on the ocean, Marlon loved sharing that time with his family and friends. It was a skill that he could teach to his kids and his grandkids, and it's a place where he found much joy. When Marlon was the president of AWI, his boat was also the place where he practiced the many speeches that he had to give. I think his boat provided him a place where he could clear his mind of all the stuff going on. But to me, that boat in the picture represents a whole lot more. The beauty of its shape, its hardy construction, represents all of the things that Marlon built in his life, including the first drift boat, and all of the things that held the Olson name over the years, from the pews you sit on to the pulpit I preach and preaching from, all of these things made by the Olson family. But yet I want you to also pay attention to the fact that the boat in the picture is empty. The boat is empty to remind us that Marlon's earthly work is done, and that both his earthly work and his joyful play were gifts from the one who created him. And Marlon recognized and honored both of those gifts. Zane wanted us to read James 1, verse 12 this morning, or this afternoon. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." One of the things that we know for sure about life is that there will be trials and that there will be challenges, and that our true character tends to come out in these difficult moments. How we face adversity and how we deal with temptation speaks to our integrity. James goes on to say this about temptation. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Marlon understood that you were to live life with integrity and honesty and in good faith. It is those traits and many more that Zane saw in his grandpa. Now James has a little bit more to say. If you look at the cover of the bulletin again, there's a quote from James on the front. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above. Marlon and Joyce were generous to those around them in so many ways. Those acts of giving were shaped by their relationship with God and their recognition that God is truly a God of abundance. Their life of faith was given to them from above, and they shared those gifts with all of those around them. So now, holding this boat so carefully in the water, this boat of blessings, our calm, smooth, deep blue waters. Now, Nancy, I know that you might enjoy the waters in this picture more than you did some of those trips out on the ocean with your father. Those choppy seas weren't Nancy's favorite. And I guess Marlon was good at getting you into them at times. But this water reminds us of so much more. Of Jesus coming to the rescue of his disciples, walking on those chaotic waters as they were being tossed about by a storm. That water reminds us of the shepherd that will guide us to still waters. That water reminds us especially of the waters of baptism of which we spoke at the beginning of the service. The waters in which we are drowned and raised to new life in Christ Jesus. Those waters remind us that marked with the cross of Christ, there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. That water joins us to Christ's death. And if we are joined to his death, then we are also joined to his resurrection. Marlon was joined to Christ in the waters of baptism on that day so many years ago. And it was those waters, it was in those waters that he was held when he made the decision with his family to end treatment a week ago, at peace, knowing he was joined to Christ, who would welcome him into his heavenly home. Now in the waters, in the front of the boat, are reflections of the boat and the ripples of the water. Now each one of you in Marlon's family, each of you that called Marlon a friend, carry a bit of his reflection with you. And he carried your reflection with him when he was out in the world as well. The reflection in the rippled waters also reminds us of those thin places, the places where heaven and earth meet. In the slideshow right there at the very end, that picture of Marlon holding his great-granddaughter Finley, that is one of those very clear, thin places. It wasn't all that later that he died, but he got to hold on to her just for a moment. One generation meeting another, if for only a short time. As you've heard, his first grandson, McCoy, was born last night. This, too, is a thin place, because even in grief, there can be great rejoicing at a new baby being born. And as we stood at Marlon's graveside earlier, we experienced another one of those thin places as we committed Marlon to his resting place, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The reality of life and death as stark and as real as it gets. There will be other thin places both today and in the days to come. You might notice them in the familiar places when Marlon's loss feels most clear, when his place at the table seems empty. But I want you to remember that when we come here to Christ's table, when we come to this place, the promise is that Marlon and all the saints of all times and all places are there with us. Whenever you want to feel close, you come here to the table, because it's here that we meet that whole history, the whole hosts of heaven. Okay, now I want you to look at the sky in that picture. Now, it's hard to tell if this boat is coming or going. We don't know if the shoreline is filled with trees or open and desolate. We cannot tell even if it's a river or a lake. But let this sky remind you of all the places you have been and all the places that you have yet to go. Let the colors soak around you and remind you that you are held by God, who so skillfully and lovingly created you. Now think for a moment about Marlon and about all the things he gave you or showed you or taught you that you will carry forward from here. And remember that the picture isn't complete, because God continues to lead us on new ventures, out of the waters, into the world, into the heavenly places he has created. You can hardly be in this church and not find things that Marlon hadn't touched in some way. As you heard, he led the committee with Carl Jensen that built the Education, Youth, and Office Edition. He led the group that had the vision to take the roof off this sanctuary and turn this room around. And that's one of those marvels that I've seen pictures of it, and I realize it can be done, but I still wonder, how did that all happen? How did that all work? But it was faith and vision that brought it together. But for all the accomplishments and for all the accolades of a life well lived, they meant nothing without his family, his friends, and his faith. You are all a testament, a reflection of his life. You are a testament to his legacy. Our worship together is a testament to his faith. Marlon's life, his legacy, and his faith were only because of the grace of God, because of the good gifts from above freely poured out on him. And it's those same gifts, that same grace that has been given freely to each one of us. And no matter where the boat wanders, no matter how rough the waters get, God's grace will always surround us as a good gift from above. Now, I have a final image for today. And this boat in the picture has no oars. But like many of you, I have spent many, many, many hours in a boat, rowing a boat. Now, I did it on a lake, so we never faced where we were going. You had to pick a spot on the horizon and find it. Most of the people on the river tend to face where they're going, because there's a lot of danger ahead of them you've got to pay attention to. But I want you to think for a moment of this imagery. When you're in that boat, there are times in our lives where we feel like we want to fight the grace that God gives us, like you fight a strong current. Think for a moment what a strong current feels like in your back as you're trying to row against it. Sometimes we can try to steer around the grace as if it's an obstacle in the river. Think about how when you shift your hands to try to turn the boat, make a quick move on the water. But no matter how hard you try, you can't control God's grace. So instead of fighting it, let it wash over you. It is a gift. It is life.